sometimes. Mm-hmm. So now I can at least track where he is. And when I leave the house, I get the message that says, you left Bebop behind. Which is just, it's 5 a.m, I'm getting in an Uber. Heartbreaking. You get in the Uber and he starts going and it goes, you left Bebop behind. And I go, oh God. I love the little guy. He's so sweet.
We've been
going
on extra long walks lately.
You really did. Yesterday especially, very long walk. Loved it. Proud of you. Thank you. Bebop needs it. Look at his little legs. He's getting tubby again. Bebop, you getting tubby? You tubby little boy? He says he doesn't like it when I call him tubby. But he is a little tubby. Yeah. But I like it. Because he's so sweet. He's a sweet little tubby. And he'll just roll on his back and let you pet him. And, so this is Weekend at Effie's. This is a weekly podcast about professional wrestling. We're going to get into the depths of pro wrestling. All right, big news this week. The last Sting match, Sting, and now he's Stung. What do you know about Sting?
He's the crow guy.
He's the crow guy. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a good segment.
Cool.
I started my week going to Missouri. You ever been to Missouri?
I have.
Did you live in Missouri?
No, my dad is from parts.
Okay, like what parts?
Kansas.
Okay.
And I just group all of that in there.
Wait, Kansas, Missouri?
Yeah.
Well, there is Kansas City, Missouri.
Isn't Missouri over there somewhere?
Yeah, it's right next to each other.
I would have failed.
It's Illinois and Missouri, and then Kansas.
Okay.
And so Kansas City is both in Kansas City. Kansas City, Missouri. Yes.
It's very flat.
Here's the fun part, because, and we've discussed this, I think, on the show before, GCW will not run in Missouri proper because there's a athletic commission that's a fucking scam. And so we run across the river. And I found out more about this. I was regaled to the history that Salgett, Illinois, which is right across the river. You can see the arch. You can see the St. Louis Arch, which is created out of racism to force the black people from their homes. They're like, oh, we have to build an arch here. So all of you have to get out of here. And so they destroyed an entire black community to build the arch.
Wow.
So they'd be like, no, we need this for the city. It's like an arch. It's got an elevator. It's sick. And we're going to demolish all of your homes. Bye.
There's an elevator in it?
Yeah, yeah. You can ride to the top.
Does it curve?
I don't know. I am not an engineer. I think it goes only up to the side. It's a large enough thing to where it could go straight up for long enough before the curve is obvious kind of a thing. But I still think it would look like it was on an angle.
Well, this is what happens when you power your elevators off racism. So
yeah, racist elevator. I just want to say the only arch that I want to be a part of is safe foot support with my beautiful Mexican boots that keep my arches safe while I'm wrestling. Okay? Fuck McDonald. Fuck St. Louis Arch. Fuck racist arch. And fuck the Missouri Commission. Okay? Missouri, weed's not legal. But if you go over to Illinois, if you cross the river to Saugat. So Saugat is this patch of land across the river that was owned by this man. And basically, like, people don't live in Saugat, but there's a bunch of weird factories with less, like, restrictive work rights.
Gotcha.
There, and strip clubs, and horse betting, and rock and roll bars that are open all night. So, like, if you're in St. Louis, they're like, oh, the bars are closing at 2. You can go to Saugat, and they're open all night. So it's really just, like, where you sin, so you're not sinning in Missouri. And that's where we host our shows. I landed really early, though, and I hit up Dan the Dad, who we're tagging against Mason Mansoor at the end of the month at the Squared Circle Expo, and I keep forgetting to do a promo, so I'm going to do a promo now. Me and Allie keep being together, and I go, we got to film that promo today because we are doing a Saturday-only signing together at the Squared Circle Expo for Cole TV. This isn't Cole Radrick TV, but he's also doing a signing with Cole TV. Cole TV is hosting Bussy to do the only Bussy appearance at the Square Circle Expo. I will be doing a signing Friday with Black Label Pro on my own without Bussy stuff. And then I will do the match Friday with Dan the Dad versus Mason Mansoor. And now it will be the first time I get to wrestle them without my head stapled shut, which is what an honor. I can actually take some moves this time, I hope. But then Saturday, Cole TV sponsoring the Bussy official dual meet and greet. You can meet and greet both of us. You can get pictures with both of us. We will be together. And she will not kiss you on the mouth, but I will do anything for money. So Cole TV, thank you for sponsoring us. Square Circle Expo. Very excited. But Dan the Dad hit me up because he lives in St. Louis and said, listen, Allie lands way later. You land super early. We're having a boys' day. So we said, we're going to go have a big boys' day. And you know what he did? He used his gift certificate for the sandwich shop. And we went out and we had delicious sandwiches together. He got meatball sub and I got the MVP sub, which was roast chicken and bacon and a side of homemade ranch with cheese on it. And it was so good and had hot sauce in it. And it was just a, you know, it was just like a bunch of old men sitting in a sandwich restaurant in St. Louis. Just, it felt like the olden days back when women had to just stay in the house and they had to do laundry all the time and they had to make savory gelatin dishes for the work party because my boss is coming over and you better have the house clean kind of a thing. Like, I'm not into all that, but like, I just like, I was living in that like time. Like, it's like going back in time. I probably shouldn't have said any of that. Yeah.
No. It's weird because I've been thinking about homes and environments on walks lately. I don't know.
Homes and because this neighborhood is full of homes and environments.
Just, I don't know, thinking about like where we've been, where we're going, and just, you know, our poor attempts at making sense of something that you can't make any sense of.
I just think it's good that women have rights now and jobs because the expectation of men has gone up because we used to just like, it was like, oh, you're a man, you can just do what you want. But now you have to like be viable for people to give you attention.
Yeah.
And most men, not very viable.
No.
Not good at being a functional part of a group, you know? We used to hunt and gather, and now we just whine and listen to Andrew Tate, the sex trafficker, tell us how to be manly. And that's just not going to work for me, pal. What do you think about savory gelatin dishes?
Bring them back.
Yeah.
Bring
like
them back.
Like a tuna gelatin?
I'm backpedaling very hard.
Or what about, they do this one a lot, like a corned beef in a tomato gelatin?
I didn't quite think about savory gelatin before I agreed.
Let's
savory gelatin.
Have you not gone down the rabbit hole of savory gelatin dishes?
No, I'm realizing I haven't.
Okay, well, it was a really common food back in the day. And I want to give you just a couple ideas of the dishes that you would make with your savory gelatin. Because now you think of Jell-O, you're like Jell-O shots, like whatever.
I bought yogurt for the first time in a while this week, and I think I got too excited.
They were referred to as Aspix. Wait, what kind of yogurt did you get?
Like regular vanilla yogurt.
I love it.
Yogurt.
I love yogurt. Mm-hmm. I eat a lot of yogurt. I put it in my oatmeal because it gives a protein boost and a little creaminess. So this is a recipe for the Coladets Aspic, and it's a savory meat jelly made from a thick broth that cools. And this one... So for this one, you use chicken broth, and then you fill it with chicken and cilantro and carrots, and then it turns into a Jell-O-like mix. Let me give you a look at what this looks like. You can also use pig knuckles to make the gelatin. That's a cold chicken broth Jell-O dish called an aspic.
It looks like when they stick the hot dogs in the clear substance, that like the epoxy.
Yeah. And they watch it just like turn to mush or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's a Betty Crocker tomato aspic, and it's a tangy, lemony vegetable crunch that's cold with a rich tomato flavor. So what I'm saying is, like, men, you all want to go back in time and have it be like the 1950s? Well, you can start eating shitty aspics if you really want to be like that, all right? Oh, the women should work in the home and do laundry and make my dinner. Well, your dinner is fucking cold tomato Jell-O with crunchy vegetables inside and tuna on top with sour cream. You fucking loser. That's what you want? You want the past? You don't get it. Or you get all of it, I guess, right? Either way, we, you know, we lived in the past for a minute. I was thinking about Aspix. I would eat Aspix. I think it's, I have sardines in the pantry right now. Sometimes my iron is low. I feel like an old woman. Like my grandma used to say things like, my iron's low and we need to go get some calf liver. She wasn't well, I don't think. I go to the grocery store and I end up buying like a lot of potted meat and preserved fish. And I'm like, oh, I think I went with a low iron content to the grocery store. And now all I have to eat is bologna, salami, and sardines. This isn't good for my health. I need to be more concerned about my heart health these days rather than eating high cholesterol foods, right? My dad has high blood pressure. You know what helped my high blood pressure for a long time? Smoking weed. Mm. And now I'm not allowed to do that. So my blood pressure through the roof. Mm. Just between having 6 cups of coffee and 4 Bang energy drinks per day and pre-workout, my blood pressure is higher than it's ever been. And that's also the reason I do a lot of this. When Allie tells me we have to do stuff, I go, it's not me personally, but it is. It's my high blood pressure. So I think maybe adding Aspix back into my diet is not a way to lower that.
Probably not.
Oh, but you don't like the cold texture of the Jell-O just slurping down your throat? And it tastes like chicken broth.
See, I don't like it when they put fruit in the Jell-O.
Wait, that's the best part. Oh, come on. What do you want in your Jell-O?
Not Jell-O.
Just the liquid.
Jell-O. Give me the Jell-O.
Just the liquid. You don't want like pineapple in your Jell-O?
Nah.
Coconut?
No, definitely not coconut. Absolutely. Pineapple.
Maraschino cherries?
Those are just regular cherries.
Yeah, but they soak them in the liquid.
Yeah.
For the Shirley Temple.
There's cherries. No marshmallows involved, though.
No, but I love marshmallows in my gelatin. No?
No.
Oh, my fucking God. You don't like marshmallows?
No.
What are we doing?
Chocolate. Hot chocolate.
Hot chocolate with marshmallows
hot
is okay.
With marshmallows.
Have you had the stuffed marshmallows?
What is inside of the marshmallows?
Some kind of chocolate pudding or something? Ugh. It's like a pudding filled. And then some of them have coconut on them. You wouldn't just eat. Like, sometimes I buy dried coconut and I just eat it with my hands.
When we get to the end of reality, God is going to list off humanity's crimes, and coconut chocolate stuffed inside of marshmallows is going to be like number 20.
So you're not an Almond Joy fan?
No.
Or a Mounds fan, I guess?
No.
Really? Is it a texture thing?
Mounds. Ugh.
Yeah, Mounds is when it doesn't have almonds. It's just coconut and chocolate. Mm-hmm. And it's so good?
No.
What about coconut water? Somebody told me it tastes like bad skim milk, and it made me like it even more.
I can do the Mamba juice, like the where they're for the ones for athletes.
What?
The where it's like
body armor ones.
Yeah.
I had a coconut mushroom protein shake this morning when I went to Target. I thought that was pretty good. I don't know.
What
maybe
is
I'm weird.
Bounty?
Bounty, yes.
Yeah, no thank you.
That's Bounty is like the Mounds of...
It's pirate candy. Come on, I'm not a pirate.
You're not a pirate?
I'm not a pirate.
We are pirates. We're futuristic pirates, okay?
Where's my hover boat?
I gotta admit to something. We're jumping ahead here, but I gotta admit to something. We landed in Montreal Saturday. This is a real jump ahead, but I want to say it now because I don't want to bring it up again. And I said, Allie, we were waiting for Joey and Jimmy to get through customs. And I said, Allie, do you want a coffee? And I went up and I ordered us 2 Americanos. And I put the piece of banana bread that I wanted with it to be rung up. And the guy ringing us up was very rude because, number one, I'm speaking English in Montreal. They don't like it. Number two, I'm ordering Americanos because I think I'm special. And then he didn't ring up my banana bread. And I put that shit in my pocket. Go fuck yourself. I'm a pirate. I gave you a chance to ring it up. And you were rude to me? Fuck off. Fuck off. I stole that banana bread. And I ate it right there in front of the restaurant. All right. So I'm just admitting that here. It is a crime. It is an international crime I committed. And I just want to say, I'll fucking do it again. All right. Back to St. Louis. We went back to Dan's place and we... Now, Dan's straight, so that's we didn't do that. But he did say...
It's Dan the dad, not Dan the daddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, like, the thing about men with children is they'll usually let you suck their dick. My mom listens to this. Damn it. Oh, man. Okay. Mom, I was kidding. It was a joke. Sign up for the Patreon, weekendatuffies.com. And I'll talk more about that stuff on the private minisodes where we talked about Paul Muad'Dib Atreides. And I sang this song wrong 8 times. That's the theme from Dune. We do talk about Dune and other things this week on the minisode. Okay, so I love my mom, and I would never do that with a married man with children. Is all I'm going to say. So we went back to his place, and he said, do you want to watch Aquaman 2? And I said, a fucking course I do. That movie rules. And he said, really? And I said, just watch for yourself. And then we watched it. I don't think he felt the same about the movie that I did. But we did have the conversation about, here's a movie. Hey, Siri, what's the budget for Aquaman 2?
Okay, I found this on the web for what's the budget for Aquaman 2.
$205 million is the final reported budget. And he goes, the reason the entertainment industry is going to collapse is because here's a movie that was in theaters. Didn't do that great in the theaters. Mm-mm. We saw it opening day, I'm pretty sure.
Because we're dorks.
Yeah, we are dorks, and we're cinema dorks, and we love all movies, even bad movies, but they're good to us. And he said, I don't even pay for HBO or Max. I don't even pay for Max. It comes with my internet, which is what ours is. It comes with the internet, so I'd be paying for internet anyway. And just on a day, I decide to put this on, and I'm half invested in it, and it doesn't affect me financially, and it's there or it's not there, and y'all spent $200 million making it, and I don't give a fuck if it exists or not, and I'm watching it or I'm not watching it. It doesn't affect me either way. And eventually, they're just going to AI schlock out shit because they're tired of paying people to make art that doesn't have any return on it. Did you see the full plot of Coyote versus Acme release?
No, the full plot?
The full plot released. In a document, and it features a lot of Peter Lorre, which seems really fascinating to me.
Interesting.
Even features Peter Lorre pretending to be Bugs Bunny because he's having to go undercover.
Incredible.
Yeah. So this movie has to come out. What I'm saying is, like, David Zaslav, I hope they get you, and I hope they hold you down, and I hope they upload this to Mega Video or to Kazaa. I would download the Wile E. Coyote movie on Kazaa.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would work. I feel like it has to come out some way. There's too much around it.
It's such a... Because it's the True Detective shit that just went down. Like, we... Notice we didn't even talk about the rest of that show.
She's awake.
So they're treating the whole thing like it's, you know, oh, this is the most successful True Detective season ever. And, like, by your shitty metric, I guess.
But we're also sad that we spent time watching it.
Yeah. And so it's, I don't know. It is, like, he's definitely not wrong.
Do you remember being
that.
Hopeful for this season of True Detective? Do you remember?
And then it's just like, y'all, congratulations. The fucking campaign that you put together worked. And, you know, you got a shit ton of people to watch your shit. And now you get to make more of your shit, but is anyone, like, really fucking happy at the end of the day?
No one cares.
No one cares.
I'm not buying the Japanese-style Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson collectible True Detective shirt for the Jodie Foster season. No one was good in it.
No.
You remember when we were hopeful and it was, like, episode 2 and we were like, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because you were, like, episode 1, you were like, this isn't good. And I was like, I'm hopeful. And I kept being hopeful. And then I got through it, and I said, nothing made sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, the Vince Vaughn season was great. that Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell season was so good. Where's Rachel McAdams? We miss her. That one had girl power. She was great in that. Rachel McAdams. We love her.
I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm right now, and Vince Vaughn as the Funkhauser relative.
Yes.
incredible.
We need a new Funkhauser. Get Vince Vaughn. He's here. Did you ever see the movie where he was the UPS guy, but he kept giving his cum to the place, and then he had too many babies?
No.
And he found out, like, it was called Delivery Man, and he found out he had all these children, and they all were seeking him out. Like, it had been, like, the 18-year mark hit, and he had just donated so much cum that he made all these babies, and he was like, oh, no, all the kids were, like, tracking him down now. It's awesome. It's not good, but it's awesome.
The plot of that movie is fully, like, stoned at 2 in the morning on a Wednesday.
Yeah, and then someone goes, yeah, we'll pump a few million dollars into that. And I'm over here going, like, how can I make 20 grand? Please. Please, God, help me make a little bit of money.
God.
Yeah, so I think kidnap David Zaslav, you know, lock him in a room. I want to see Batgirl. I don't care if it's good or not. I want to see Acme versus Coyote starring John Cena. Are you kidding me? You got a movie with John Cena and the Wile E. Coyote together, and you're not showing me? This is the biggest movie since Space Jam. Y'all could have had toys at Burger King, but I think it was just too much for them. Reading the plot, pretty controversial shit. Pretty controversial stuff. All right. With Peter Lorre. Who would have guessed?
Rules. Fucking rules.
It's great. Yeah. So St. Louis. We're there.
Do you know the thing with the Peter Lorre and all the Looney Tunes? Is,
yeah, he got blacklisted, and they were like, we're gonna keep showing him so that we keep his memory alive. Which is why it's even better.
You get to the fucking 90s, and there I am as a 6-year old going, Peter Lorre's my favorite actor. I love
Peter
him Lorre's
the best.
Somebody so my like, parents would be like, well, you know, there's all these other movies with him in it. I go, like, fucking no. Sold.
I don't want the real one. I want the cartoon Peter Lorre. He exists to me. Yeah, or you're sort of like, wait a second, that cartoon man's real?
You know it's a great movie? The Burbs.
The Burbs with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Isn't he he's not causing the mayhem in that one, is he?
No, but he's not. He's certainly adding to the mayhem.
I always kind of like in my mind scramble Cable Guy and the Burbs.
Yeah.
They sort of exist in the same cul-de-sac.
It's the thing that reminded me of is there's that scene where he just gets so frustrated with everything that's going on, and the EMTs are there, and he's frustratedly like throwing himself into the back of the ambulance.
Take me away. That was when Tom Hanks was real, right?
Yes.
Pre-Castaway?
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-Castaway Tom Hanks is a person. Now, not a person. Ever since The Terminal came out, I could have told you, that's not a real man. They just keep giving him a new accent and using his digital likeness, and he exists. Did you ever see The Congress? We brought it up 8 times. Robin Wright, I'm forcing you to watch The fucking Congress. God, that movie rules, where she sells her likeness and then exists only in a cartoon spectrum of LSD trippingness. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
Yeah, you do. It's great. The name of the movie doesn't sound like what that movie is.
Yeah.
The movie's insane. You're like, we can make another Princess Bride and you can still be 23. Like, it'll be perfect. She's like, what? And then all of a sudden, it's over. It's fucking over for you. So we finally pick up Alley Catch after we watch Aquaman 2. Get a little Chipotle, head to the venue. And back at Pops, this is a historic venue, Pops. It's where the SGC was kind of formed. You could say it was either at the Ukrainian Center or at Pops, but in this instance, I'm at Pops, so it was formed at Pops. Eddie Kingston was not there, but, you know, it still worked out. We were all together and had a wonderful time wrestling our good friend Cole Radrick, his tag partner Alec Price, and Jack Cartwheel, and we won. We won the contest. It was great. It was a very difficult time. We got through it. We had fun. And that's all I got to say about that. It's on Triller TV.
You need to do a storyline where Cole is about to win a match and then you pull out like honey mustard or ketchup.
Oh, the sauce ruins it for him?
Yeah.
There's also a wrestler, Alex Zane, who is called The Sauce, and he has a Taco Bell deal in Japan. And he's been back on the road with us a little bit with GCW. And I think if Cole had to face The Sauce, it would be insane, right?
Yeah.
We're trying to make it happen. But Cole will also be there this weekend. Garbage Daddies a big match. Not to jump ahead, but Thursday I will be in Chicago with Danhausen And I've gotten some information off the streets that we may have some special guests arriving. Ooh. With Danhausen. So I have to be on my best behavior is what I've been told. I've been told I need to be on my absolute best behavior for the regular people getting this episode. This has already happened. So hopefully I was on my best behavior and the dirt sheets have not picked up something weird. But Friday, I have a day off. So I'm going to get into Atlantic City early. Me and Jimmy Lloyd are going to go on a date. Might go to the steakhouse, you know, might take him to the Hard Rock, play a little blackjack. I don't know. I can't gamble anymore. Once I stopped gambling, my life got a lot better.
Mm.
I used to, especially with Joey Janela, he loves to gamble, but he doesn't care if he loses, and I care if I lose. So it'd be like I can think of one specific instance. I was at my own blackjack table. I was doing well. And then Joey was like, come over to our table. So I cashed out, and I went over to that table, and I lost all my money. So, and that's every time I've gambled with Joey. I love him. Joey's the coolest guy. He's the most... I owe a lot of my career to Joey Janela, and I also owe a lot of my financial problems to Joey Janela, because I will just lose $300, $400 in an hour sitting at a blackjack table with Joey Janela. So we're going to avoid the gambling.
He's your William H. Macy.
Oh, no. From what?
The Cooler.
Oh, I'm not watching The Cooler.
You've never seen The Cooler?
I've never seen The Cooler.
Oh, it's great.
Who's in The Cooler?
Alec Baldwin.
Oh, all right, I'll watch The Cooler. Yeah, he's my William H. Macy in The Cooler.
That is a Sunday afternoon, I don't have shit going on with my life, throw The Cooler on.
Okay, I'm in. What year is this? 98?
Let me see.
I'll pet your head, Lucy. I love petting you.
It was something that I mentioned with Rotting in the Sun, where I just love someone that's bad at their job.
Vero? I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay. 2003, Wayne Kramer.
2003, Wayne Kramer. Okay. I'm into it. 2003 makes sense. Only a five-year difference. I still have a tweet in the drafts that will make sense to no one, that's a line from Rotting in the Sun. That is
fucking Joey Fatone is in it.
Joey Sorry. Fat one.
Yeah.
I should just tweet it. I don't know. Here it is. You do K. So what? You suck cock. So what? That's the whole quote. And I'm just saving the draft because it doesn't make sense. And I loved Rotting in the Sun. You would know that if you were on our Patreon, because you would get access to our private letterboxed reviews. Which I've reviewed a lot of films this year. I think I can do it. I'm going for the Doug Benson.
The Doug Benson, a movie a day?
A movie a day, and I'm way behind.
Oh.
It turns out. Turns out pretty behind. But I do think that there will be a lot of movies on there, and I think my reviews are hilarious. I posted a preview review on Twitter of the This Is Me .. from J-Lo, that I thought was pretty funny. And it's not, I'm not always just going for laughs, but sometimes you got to have humorous thoughts on these films, on this art. And I have many humorous thoughts on the art.
My reviews are also on there.
Yes. Both private reviews sessions.
My Wonka review, I think, is my crowning achievement as far as reviews go.
I can pull it up right now.
Yes, you can.
Wow. All right, I'm going to laugh to myself. See, you got me laughing. This is great. Oh. Okay, good. Yeah, I hope Paddington 3 is like that. I hope they fall in that wormhole. Olivia Colman slated to be in Paddington 3. Paddington goes to Peru. Very excited for that. And, you know... Paddington, I think they should make a movie where Paddington meets Wonka.
Yeah.
And they come up with a marmalade chocolate together.
Yeah.
But then something goes amiss and Hugh Grant's there, and that's why he has to close the chocolate factory. I would like the lore of Paddington being the reason that a domino effect happens that closes the factory.
You know how in Expendables they bring everybody back?
Yeah.
We bring back the villains from the first two Paddington movies.
But they're not dead.
Yeah, so it would work.
Yeah, they're just in jail.
Yeah.
So they can escape.
Yeah.
Paddington escaped.
Yeah, Hugh Grant. So it would be Peter Capaldi.
Yep.
And who is the bad guy in the first one? It was motherfucking Nicole Kidman.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please bring her back.
Yeah.
So you got Peter Capaldi, Hugh Grant, and...
No, it's Peter Capaldi, Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman, and then who was the bad guy in the first one?
Jeffrey Jones. No, that's the pedophile from...
He's always the bad guy.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman had that haircut. Okay. All right.
Okay, so it was Nicole Kidman and Peter Capaldi in the first one.
Yeah.
And then in the second one, it was Hugh Grant. Okay, so no, we did get everybody.
We got all three. And I would say that, what if you have a Mr. Gruber heel turn and you have Jeb Broadbent being a bad guy too?
Yeah.
And he turns.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's been trying to kill Paddington all along by poisoning the marmalade.
Okay.
How was the marmalade? Oh, it was quite delightful. Oh, no, Mr. Gruber, my throat's closing up. Oh, tell on Lucy I loved her. That's the polar bear from my dreams. Maybe. They don't know about that unless they listen to both episodes.
It's true.
Huh. Huh, I guess you don't know. Well, we finished the show. We went to the sandwich shop again, which is, I don't know what it's called, but they make tacos, donuts, and these breakfast sandwiches. And it's... So it's like two pieces of buttered toast and sausage and cheese and egg. But then they put this fucking like weird gravy sauce on it.
Uh-huh.
It's the best goddamn sandwich I've ever had.
Damn.
If I could make it last a few days and bring it back to you, I would. But I just don't think it would be as good.
Probably not.
I think we just got to get you to St. Louis sometime. Maybe not. I don't know.
You know what they say about St. Louis?
Meet me there?
Yeah.
Meet me in St. Louis?
Meet me in St. Louis.
Is that a musical?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Hey, Siri, what was Meet Me in St. Louis about?
The show focuses on the everyday life of Mimi Morton, a redheaded 11-year-old girl with a highly active imagination, a knack for creative problem solving, and a bright outlook on life.
I don't think that's fucking true at all. I think you're a fucking liar, Siri. What the hell? Mimi Morton? That's a show called What About Mimi? That's not Meet Me in St. Louis. This is bullshit.
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Don't tell me about
Louis.
A Teletoon cartoon from October of 2000 about Mimi who lives in Starfish Bay. Hey, Siri, what was Meet Me in St. Louis about? Read it.
Oh.
I found this on the web.
She won't even say it out loud.
Okay.
Pulled it up and won't even say it. It's about the World's Fair. It's about the goddamn World's Fair. And you know what's not fair? The world. The world's not fair. We should open one of those where we show off inventions that are bad. And it's hosted by Elon Musk. Cybertrucks have stopped steering themselves or whatever. And
have
they're killing families or something? I don't know.
I saw one crashed into the whatever that famous Hollywood hotel is.
So the valet crashed it and Justin Bieber was renting it from another guy. And he posted that the valet crashed it when Justin Bieber was renting it. I don't think the valet crashed it.
Mm.
I think Justin Bieber crashed that Cybertruck. Mm. I don't trust Justin Bieber. Can you imagine if Justin Bieber was Paul Atreides? And I was spice me.
Are you following any of the Diddy stuff?
Yeah, he sexually assaulted all those people.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you see Meek Mill's car?
You know... I'm not going to judge Meek Mill, but I'm going to judge Meek Mill.
It's whatever. It is suspicious that a car that he doesn't drive fucked up. Because he got in a car accident a couple days ago.
You know he blew up Kid Cudi's car, right?
What?
Hold up. Let's get into this. Kid Cudi was not talking about it for a while. Kid Cudi car explosion. This is real. Diddy exploded Kid Cudi's car, and Kid Cudi didn't want anybody to know about it in case Diddy retaliated even further.
Holy shit.
Yeah, blew up his car in his parking lot.
No wonder he doesn't want to fuck with anybody.
Right, like, right. No, he's like, no, I'm good. I'm gonna just let me stay in my lane. I got an album. You guys like the album? I'm not talking to anybody.
Yeesh.
The new Kid Cudi album rules. I've been working out to it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just like banger after banger. He's back on his fucking game.
He needs to act more. I need him in more movies.
He is very good. What is the one he's in recently?
For me, most recently, it was X.
What is X?
The first of the Ty West Pearl movies.
Okay. I'm thinking of another one. And it was
because he's had like multiple Netflix shows at this point, right?
Yeah, but this was he's in the new Knuckles series.
Oh,
he's one of the baddies trying to take out Knuckles, which I'm very excited about. Idris Elba as Knuckles back.
That rules.
It's a 6-episode series. Sonic and Tails are in it too, and Knuckles is trying to take on everybody. Yeah, Kid Cudi's in the new Knuckles series.
Hell yeah. Good for
him.
Very
excited.
Good for him.
We've got to keep Paramount because I want to see it really bad. I love all the Sonic movies. They're making Sonic 3. Gold Sonic appearing at the end of Sonic and Shadow's coming to the next one. Shadow? You know about Shadow? Shadow is Sonic's ex and they used to fuck, I think. Or they at least gave each other a hand.
Uh-huh.
And now, like, there's bad blood.
Yeah.
Shadow didn't want Sonic to tell anybody.
He's got a lot
and
of
Sonic wanted to live
big
authentically.
Clubs.
Yeah, he got the big. Yeah. So Sonic and Shadow used to have like a private thing going, and then Sonic was like, "I want people to know."
They used to collect
about
rings together.
Yeah, they
were calling.
Oh, they were. They both had a big ring on, and they, you know, spent a lot of time together, and Sonic wanted to go public, and Shadow was like, I want to stay in the shadows, obviously. And then he has to keep Sonic quiet because Sonic is like, I don't know, I want to live authentically. And Shadow's like, I've built a life for myself. And I don't want people to have certain thoughts about me that are going to make them think that way. Did you see the SNL Straight Bo and Yang?
No.
Oh my God. Sydney Sweeney's like, I just like Bowen's so hot. And the girls are like, yeah, you know, he's straight, right? Like, he just plays gay on the show for laughs. And she goes, do you need protection? And he goes, no, I'm on prep. All right, I'm sorry. I'm getting off topic here. We're having fun, though. Weekend Effies is about fun. It's about wrestling. Other wrestling news. Crazy. Big news. Crazy. Mercedes Moné is going to debut for AEW soon. All right, next thing. So after we were not going to the second GCW date, we were going somewhere else because we were summoned to take on the team of IWS, IWS Hardcore Wrestling, on their 25-year anniversary in Montreal. Montreal. Now, I have to be careful how I tell the rest of this day because we did run into some people that we're not allowed to talk about running into, which we can talk off the air about it. Me, Jimmy Lloyd, Ali Catch, and Joey Janela rode from St. Louis to Philly and then got on a very tiny plane to go to Montreal. Montreal, Canada. And in Montreal, everyone can speak English, but they don't admit it to you. They will not tell you that they know how to speak English. So you just have to like mumble your way through French. And thank God I took some college French. And I would love to go back and see my so-called permanent record because I did have a meltdown on a French teacher one time. I think we've discussed this.
Yeah.
And I just want to see how that was written up because I was correct. I was also hammered because it was 8 a.m. and we had been in Five Points till 3 or 4 in the morning getting fucked up. And so I was pretty drunk coming to this class, but I showed up. And if I show
Wait,
up, you know.
Five Points?
No. Five Points. They also call it that in Colombia.
Okay.
It was another series of Five Points.
Okay.
And there was a lot of bars.
Yeah.
And we used to just take Vyvanse and then drink Long Island pitchers for $6. And it would get rowdy out there. Yes.
Five Points here has a whole completely, not even where we live, like the Five Points.
Yeah, not little Five Points, but the Five Points.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, so not quite. But, fuck that. I hope that French teacher, she lost her job. I'm in a mood today. I don't know how else to put it. I'm in a fucking mood. Pitar, I'm in a mood. I'm asking for people to lose their jobs. I'm kidnapping David Zaslav.
Didn't you have a promo you needed to do?
Yeah, Cole TV. They're going to be hosting us at the Square Circle Expo for the Ultimate Bussy signing. Saturday, March 30th, the day before Easter, you can meet Bussy. I'm really disappointed that the WrestleMania deal is not Easter weekend, even though I understand why it's not, because I really wanted my crucifixion to happen on Easter, but it's not. It's going to be the week after Easter, which is like not lining up with my fantasies. All right, let's take a poll. Who thinks I'm actually getting crucified at WrestleMania? A lot of people are going, what's he talking about? Is this a bit? Is he doing a bit? Let's fucking find out. Let's find out if I'm going to be crucified. I just want to say this. I've been fucking waiting for these match graphics so long so I can put these fucking matches out. And if this motherfucker doesn't just say, please, here, we'll do the match with you, I'm going to freak the fuck out because I don't have a backup plan at this moment. All right, for the Bussy Dream match. And there's been no agreeance yet. Now, do I have international superstars confirmed? I do. Do I have returns to the brunch confirmed? I do. Do I have huge matches lined up? I do. But if I don't get this fucking dream match, I'm going to freak out and I'm going to have to just overspend on something else. I wanted to overspend on this. I've been waiting for this for years and I can't have it. No one will let me have it. And he won't fucking just say yes. That's all I can say. But I need these match graphics because I'm freaking the fuck out. I'm freaking out so bad that I'm sending Brett pictures of Jeff Jarrett saying, where's my graphics? Because I thought maybe if he thinks it's from Jeff Jarrett, he'll answer quicker. Okay? It's not good. It's bad right now. So we go to Montreal. I steal banana bread. Jimmy gets pulled aside in customs. What else is fucking new? And we make our way.
Did he get the super... the super spreader?
The quad S super security? Yeah. No, he did not. No. But I think he has a previous something on his record that makes them question him. I don't know. I go right through.
Accessory of IBS?
It's front of the line for you, pal. It's not a good thing here. We did make it through. We were picked up and made our way to the venue pretty early. And I said, let's go get food. I'm very hungry. So me and Jimmy and Allie went to get food. At a restaurant that happened to have a giant Elton John rainbow picture in it. So I said, I think we picked the right restaurant. Went in there. I ate poutine because that's who I am. Had a blue cheese beef poutine. Very good. And then Allie said, so-and-so's here. We got to go say hey to so-and-so. And so then we all went and hung out with so-and-so. And he's doing great. And, you know, we wish him well. And it was good to catch up. But the first question he had for me and Jimmy was the funniest question. And I also can't tell you what that question was because it was hilarious. And it was, do you still? And it was, yep. And it was, we moved on from it. This is very vague right now, but it will make sense eventually. But it was lovely to see them. It was beautiful that they're doing so well. And it was a strange occurrence because they just noticed the poster downtown and said, are you guys here today? And we were like, yeah, we're here. So we met up and said hello and had a good time. Had a little cafe before the show. The show itself, I did not know, was being filmed for a Netflix documentary.
Right.
Yes. Like, for real, already dealt with, picked up, crazy. And I caused issues right away. I rolled in and I was talking to a few of the guys with IWS.
You know, I do remember last week's podcast, someone mentioning that they needed to mind their P's and Q's because of a documentary filming that was happening.
I didn't. So I walked in, they're already filming the documentary, and they said, hey, we can't do any of the glass stuff on the stage because the lighting guys are nervous about the glass getting on the equipment and getting on the stage. And I just yell out, or is it because they're a bunch of fucking pussies? And then the guy, the French lighting guy, got really mad and started yelling. And that is all on the documentary. I was just, I thought they would hear it as a like a joking, like, ooh.
They didn't.
No, they did not. They were not happy. I was pulled aside and told to watch my mouth around the lighting guys. But also, go fuck yourself. You know what you're lighting? Me. Okay? So if you have a problem, how about you go outside? Because I'm the fucking superstar. Okay. And I just want to say it is, I didn't lie. I told no lies. Okay. Now, I did face punishment for it because I had to be in a fucking glass death match, which is a nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. There's no way to prepare for that. There's no way to enjoy that. Was I hit with light tubes where it reopened my fucking wounds on my head? Yes. Can you tell that I was cheese gratered on my forehead? Yes. Is my hair falling out from pieces of glass being in it? I'm already losing my hair, and now I'm losing more hair because there's glass in my hair cutting out the hair that's there. This isn't good. Please buy the Major Bendy because it immortalizes when I did have hair, because it's not long for this fucking world now. It's looking rough now. Looking like it's down the drain now. Just pulling out clumps of my fucking hair. There's only so many clumps left. That's all I got. But now I got glass in my hair. Allie went through a pane of glass like a fucking psychopath. I was dumping people on their glass heads. There was glass everywhere. We were the main event of this show. Everybody in Canada is so polite and so lovely. But yes, they were filming this Netflix documentary the whole time. I have no idea what I said on it. I know I looked crazy. They were filming us a lot. There was a lot of footage of us. And I just want to say to the Netflix crew, please edit out anything where I don't look, where I look less than savory. They're not going to. Also, PCB Manny jumps off the roof in the middle of this show. PCB Manny being the promoter and one of the wrestlers, PCB Crazy Manny, and then split his head open, like me, and then went downstairs, had the doctor sew it together, and then came back out to finish the match. What a fucking champion. What a legend. 48 years old. Still doing it. Gives me hope for the future. And then after the match, which we lost, sadly, over 2,000 people there in this fucking arena.
Shit.
Crazy. And just also, like, I don't, like I said, I don't think ahead that often. So I'm not like, oh, I'm really looking forward to this huge show. Turns out you just show up and you're like, oh, this is a massive show. Like, let's do a little Hammerstein real quick. After the show, PCP Manny called out Nick Gage. So they're going to have a singles match in July, which we're going to be back at IWS in Montreal in July. We're also going to be in Toronto in July. I don't think I'm supposed to tell anybody yet. Did you know we're wrestling in the Better Call Saul building, right?
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We're like literally the same building they filmed his offices in, we are wrestling in. It's going to be so sick in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I think that comes up in April, April 21st, I want to say. I'm very excited to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's a state I've never wrestled in, New Mexico. So I've done Arizona, done Nevada, I've done Texas, never done New Mexico. So this is new. It was bloody. It was a mess. Now, Marcus Mathers and Charlie Tiger came up from New Jersey or from Philly in a car. And so they were going to take us back to the hotel after the show. And Jimmy and Joey stayed there to go out with everybody. But I was tired. I had a very early flight, you know, a little 6 a.m.er out of Montreal. Got to go through customs and everything. I said, take us to the hotel. They said, can we go get food? And I said, yeah, just like, what do you guys want to eat? We get in the car. And Marcus Mathers is a little bit picky with his eating, you know, and I'm used to guys being a little picky with the food. That's fine. And Allie, she can be a little wishy-washy on what she may want to eat. But I said, you know, what do you guys want to eat? What's open late? And Charlie Tiger, without hesitation, goes, we got to go to La Bustan. I was like, what? And he's like, La Bustan, it rules. I was like, all right, man, put it in. And just knew off the top of his head, this French meat restaurant called La Bustan that's open till 3 in the morning. And we went and we got gyros and pitas and turnips and poutine and potatoes stuffed with meat and all this stuff. And poor Marcus Mathers is trying to pick food that he wants. And he was like, I just think I'm not going to get anything. I was like, you need to eat, dude. Like, get a pita with rice and meat and you don't have to get anything else. And then he's pointing at beets going, is that Jell-O? And he's pointing at turnips going, what is turnips? And I'm going, you're 20 years old, and I can ultimately tell right now. And the only reason I'm ragging him is the first match of my WrestleMania week is April 3rd, a Wednesday night in the H2O Center for the Intergender Bonanza. And Marcus Mathers is the Intergender Champion, and I am facing Marcus Mathers for this championship. And watching you order food, let me know one thing, Marcus, that you have no idea what you're getting into with me. I've seen you do deathmatch. I've seen you do all kinds of matches. One time we were in a tag match and you did a 450 and you busted my fucking jaw and I looked like this for like 3 weeks and all that is fine. What I'm telling you is you have now unlocked your weakness to me, which is when some real freak shit goes down, you don't know what to do. You just go sit at the table and say you're not going to eat. Because you don't know what turnips and beets are. You don't want sauce. You don't know what... Is that sour cream? No, man. It's fucking hummus. What's hummus? You know, when this is coming across to me as, your childlike wonder of the world and keeping yourself safe from trying these new things, I'm letting you know that the match you're expecting at the Intergender Bonanza is not the match you're going to get anymore. I'm going to take you into fucking full freak mode, and we're going to get real weird, and I'm taking that championship from you, and there's nothing you can do about it because I'm going to make you so uncomfortable, you child of the thorny sides, whatever the fuck that means. I am going to make you so uncomfortable that you have no chance but to tap out and escape this match. And I hope the rice and beef together was good enough for you with no sauce, just in a pita bread. And that was even a confusing concept. Marcus, it's over. I'm taking that belt from you because now I know that you're not a true freak. And a true freak is going to do what I got to do to make that belt come back home with daddy. How's that sound? La Bustan, delicious. Great food. Had a poutine. Everybody had exactly what they wanted except for Marcus, because what he wanted was, I think, just a grilled cheese. I think that's what he wanted in his heart. Got back to the hotel. The kids went out on the town because, you know, it's they can drink there. Marcus is 20, so he can actually drink in Canada where it's legal at 18 to do so. And myself and Allie went to bed, woke up, went to the airport. I went to the airport, and I got on that plane. And let me tell you something. My wounds were still bleeding, and there was glitter all over me from the Green Phantom. And I sat down and I had a quick coffee just to wake myself up a little bit. And then I looked and they were calling my name up to the counter. And I am wearing the hoodie I've been wearing for 2 days that has Manders and my own blood on it. And it's starting to smell like blood. I have glitter all over me. My hair is a mess and I have blood dripping on my forehead that I can't get to stop. And they go, congratulations, you've been upgraded to first class. And so I get on this flight to Montreal bleeding and covered in glitter and smelling like just must be horrible. And I sit in the second seat of first class and they all just have to look at it again. This is the second time coming back from Canada that I've been seated in first class. And what a lovely thing to have. Thank you, Delta, for looking out for me. But I know when I walked up to that counter and that woman looked at me that she second-guessed letting me know that I had been upgraded. I was already Comfort Plus. That's regular for me, all right? I'm, you know, silver, super, platinum, medallion, whatever. But I don't always get first class. And those moments where you get first class where you are disgusting is phenomenal, because you know everyone walking on that plane is looking over going, what the fuck's going on over there? What the fuck's going on with this dude? This doesn't make any sense. And they said, would you like anything to drink? And I had an orange juice with ice because I'm a freak. And then I went to bed and I landed back in Atlanta. It was a beautiful time. Came back home, napped more of the day away than I'd like. But that's what happens when you go battle for your life every time that you have to go out on the road. All right. I'm never going on the road and it's easy. Going on the road and it's a 24-hour day and I'm battling for my life and I'm spilling my liquids. And if we were on Dune, if we were on Arrakis, they'd be so pissed at how much liquid I lose during the weekend. Just sweaty and bloody and spitting everywhere and peeing in toilets. They would hate how much liquid I'm losing. But you know what? We have the ability to rehydrate because we don't live on the fucking Dune planet. We live on Earth and we are 75% water, and I am made of water and I'm in first class. How is that?
Love it.
Now, I do have to say this. I brought you home a treat again.
Yes.
I brought you the crispers. El Saisonnés crispers. Do you like those better than the chips?
Yeah.
They fucking rule.
Yeah.
The all-season, all-dressed crispers rule.
They just, it's that perfect in-between texture.
Mm-hmm. It's addicting.
Yeah.
They're addicting as a snack.
No, I killed them.
I got you the big bag. They have the little bags. I said, let me just get
they're gone.
Oh, yeah?
They're gone.
Perfect.
They're gone.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep bringing you home Canadian treats as often as I can. And I'm going to bring back the super ketchup chips next time because they're even more ketchupy. And I think that's important. Now, for those of you at home saying, I wish I could ask Effie and Pitar questions. I wish I could let them know. I wish I could send them gifts. Well, you can do that already. It's in the descriptor. Thank you to Julie Scott for sending a lovely gift to Pitar.
Yes.
Thank you.
Got the Klaus book. Thank you so much.
Beautiful book. And thank you to Machete Von Kill for sending a lovely holiday card to us. We appreciate that. Any mail you want to send, it's in the descriptor. Send it to us. It takes me a second to pick it up sometimes. Obviously, I'm thinking for a holiday card in March. But it is much appreciated when you send these gifts.
It is also cool to be reminded that the, as you know, our beloved superhero movies are in a time of transition, that the new Superman stuff is being based off of the man whose book showed up.
Isn't that about Santa Claus?
That is about Santa Claus, but he also wrote like the big Superman for a long time.
Grant Morrison.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the one that they're using.
And that's the one that they're using. And so it's like, you have the guy that wrote what, Doom Patrol, like his shit is what Doom Patrol dropped based on.
Okay. So he's a weirdo.
He's a weirdo. You're getting a weirdo. Yeah.
Look at these two. They're finally just cuddling together. You can pet them both at the same time.
These two are, I think they created like a suicide pact together or something, because they are fully ready to jump into traffic.
Together. They're over it. They also will pretend like they hate each other for a second if one of them takes a toy, and then 10 minutes later, they're just cuddled up back to back.
Yes.
Just loving each other and kissing. What an angel set. It's so good. It's good to grow up with your little sister and your brother.
I've been testing their niceness where I'll just drop Bebop on top of Lucy.
Yeah, and see how they'll
react. Pretend for 2 seconds that they're annoyed, and then they just go,
oh, hey. Hey, what's up? Yeah, they love the cuddling. They're cuddle babies.
Okay, this first question is from Something Devious. This is not so much a question, but just a statement on how wonderful Effie is. After the Dallas GCW show, I asked Effie to sign my Bloody Variant Effie figure and for a photo. He was warm and kind. When I asked him what I owed him, he told me just give him whatever I wanted. That was so nice and spoke so much to me. He did not realize that I had previously met another wrestler at the event, I won't name who, and the interaction was very transactional and cold. Because of this, no matter how much the person's talent, they lost me as a fan. And because of this interaction and with everyone that I've had so far with Effie, this is why I will always be a diehard fan. Thank you for being so fucking awesome. Side shout out, Allie was wonderful and genuine too. Bussy for life.
Okay, I just want to say this because sometimes wrestlers will try to give me shit for this because they'll go, oh, like, blah, 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 everything, this and this and this, blah, blah, blah. That transactional thing works for a transaction, right? But I've been doing this a long time. I don't plan on going anywhere. I plan to continue doing this. I'm resetting my auras. I'm resetting my chakras. Hopefully that package comes. He didn't put the unit number on it. That was a big plan for resetting my auras. What I've learned is I don't want fans who come up one time and then they're over it. I want fans who come up and realize, like, what a blessing it is that you care about me doing my make-believe fighting. What a blessing it is that you are excited to meet me. What a blessing it is that I have my own action figures that people want to have me sign. And I understand, yes, part of my job is signing things for people. Like, that is part of my functional job. But if I'm going to have you pay me a certain amount of money for this and just do it and not have any kindness or human interaction, like you're just a customer, it is never going to work long term. And I see a lot of guys come and go. I see a lot of guys come in and make a lot of money right away. And the long term is, if you treat people with respect, if you acknowledge the fact that it is very weird and cool and awesome that people care about meeting us or are excited to meet us or will wait in a line of 50 people to meet us, that is insane and beautiful, and we have to honor that. I will never treat anyone with disrespect or try to make you move away quickly or try to scam you out of money, even if it is to my own benefit, because long term, it is not to my own benefit. And I'm glad it is noticed and appreciated by people who are coming up to meet me. And I hope that more people will find comfort in coming up to meet me, because sometimes they say, oh, I was too nervous to come meet you, or I didn't have any money, I didn't want to come meet you. None of that matters. Just come up. We're normal. We all poop in the toilet. We're all regular people. And I think it's beautiful. You appreciate my art. So please, if I'm there, come up, say hello, money or not. And, you know, let's spend a little time together. I will never turn people away or be rude to people who want to experience time with me.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay. This is from Rob. What do you have hanging up on your fridge?
What do we have hanging up on our fridge?
I believe at the moment that is the food guideline sticker for what to give dogs.
For what we're allowed to feed the dog. Hold on, I'm going to look. Because I thought we had something else too. Hold on. Okay,
we are checking to see what's on the fridge.
This is great. This is perfect. All right, here's the official report. We have two miniature Polaroid pictures, one of Lucy, one of Bebop. We have one magnet that says San Diego because I went there and I got a magnet. And we have the food guidelines for dogs. What can you feed dogs and what can you not feed dogs? Here's the piece de resistance. Me and my brother at his wedding in the worst tan suits you've ever seen in your whole life. And I am so sweaty because it was an outdoor ceremony. How's that?
Incredible.
That's our whole fridge incredible. Right now.
Yeah.
My brother's having a baby in like 2 weeks. It's
amazing.
Amazing.
White people shouldn't wear tan suits.
No. No. Never. Never. Tan suit with a blue bow tie. No. I look, and I think I knew how stupid I looked. And I was like, yeah, let's get some pictures. This will be great. We haven't taken pictures together in 5 years. We should definitely do it in tan suits. We're just out there at one of those like mountain. It's like a, you know, the mountain places where you, where they have the cross looking over the mountains, and I'm just sweating.
Yeah,
and I just found out my parents are divorcing that day. This is what makes me nervous about I'm having a baby. I'm like, you got married and it broke up our parents' marriage. Now you're having a baby. What is that going to do?
Oh God, yeah, I do not miss Georgia weddings whatsoever.
It's hot. This was South Carolina, brother. Oh, this was South Carolinian. Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is from Kylie. Hey, Peter, if you were a wrestler, do you have any idea what your entrance theme would be? Love the pod and love you both so much.
Hell yeah. Peter, fill us in.
Okay, I did look at this question earlier and thought about it for a half second.
Yeah.
Are there any wrestlers that use I'm God Clams Casino?
No.
Okay, that would be
not mine. That are important. Okay, that's sick. I think it would give you the drama.
Mm-hmm.
Are there words on that song?
Yes, but it's the Imogen Heap sample.
Okay, so it's not additional words. It's just sort of like an Imogen Heap kind of Frau Frau as I knew her.
Yeah.
It's not like a lot of words anyway, right?
No. Okay. No.
Bring the drama. No. I think it's time. It's time for you to make your grand entrance.
Okay. My colorblind friend insists that all apples are yellow. I told them that's bananas.
Because it's not apples at all.
I do believe that is an original Heather.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yes.
That's great. They've also started coming over into the stream. Last night we did a Shania Twain word game.
Uh-huh.
Where we were like, you know, if she... If she was helping you after your accident, she'd be Shania Payne. And if she was getting you through the storm, she'd be Shania Rain. And if she worked at an insurance adjustment bureau, she'd be Shania Claim. It got bad. It got really bad.
Okay. If she's an acute medical disorder, Shania Migraine.
Shania Migraine. Shania Migraine.
Okay. All right. This one is from Danny. With the increase in how awful the political/social climate is, what are your favorite comfort shows to take your mind off of things? For Effie and Pitar, the Zen Master. Shows to take your mind off of things. For me, it's stuff that was made in like a previous era. Like Old Curb is really nice. Old Bob's Burgers is really nice. If like you really want to get crazy with it, Old Parks and Rec just feels like from a completely different era.
Yeah, it is from a different era. Star of the Garfield movie, Chris Pratt.
Yes, yes.
See, for me, it's a little different. And I think we've had this discussion somewhat before, but for me to not think about the world on its own, I need to stress out about something else. So I watch a lot of Dateline and 2020 and 48 Hours. And I just want to stress out about these people getting murdered because then I don't worry about anything else. Yeah. I'm just like, what's up with this murder? Yeah. And then you're sort of like, well, I have problems in my life, but like my wife didn't kill me with a Benadryl pie. So I guess I'm ahead of the curve. Like, I guess it could be worse kind of a vibe. So yeah, a lot of real crime murder shit is what keeps me from stressing out about other stuff.
I do like the story this week of the guy in the metal band that was forcing another
sneaking estrogen yeah. into the pre-workout.
That's the kind of chaos where I go, this is so far removed from anything that would happen in my life that I can take it as kind of entertainment because yeah. these circumstances are very far removed.
Then they replaced him in the band with a female singer. They kicked him out of the band and replaced him with a female singer.
Wow.
I love it. They were like, oh, you want to add estrogen to the band? I think we will. And now she's even more badass.
It's incredible.
They're probably going to get over now.
Incredible. Other than that, there are some great I'm freaking out about the end of the world YouTube videos that basically all kind of the idea of, okay, how did we get to the situation that we're in and, you know, what is actually going to happen here? And the end result of all those videos is human beings are very creative and we always figure it out. Like, we've been in this position before. This is, while it seems scary and new, here's all the other times that it's felt like this before. And here's the random thing that, like, did you ever watch The Expanse?
No, I started it yesterday and then I stopped because I was falling asleep.
Yeah.
Not because of The Expanse, but because of my own sleepiness.
I do think it is worth your time. I read all the books and everything.
There's books?
Yeah, there's books.
Holy shit.
The thing that is fun about those shows, about that show, is the guys that made it as like a tabletop board game first.
Okay.
And then realized that the world building that they had done was
so large, they
so large that they could just tell a story instead. There's a bunch of fun stuff with Mormons involved.
I love Mormons. And,
you know, just all from of that craziness. But they, the way that they have it set up in that show is that the thing that's really funny about it is they fucked up on the name. They called it an Epstein drive because it's named after this unfortunate farmer that like jerry-rigged something and then accidentally shot to space. And that's like how they build warp drives, basically. Okay. But, you know, of course, they probably should have named it something else. Anything else. But it's just again, this idea that it's like
the Rammstein drive.
We don't solve any of our problems by setting out to solve our problems. It's accidents. It's mistakes. It's fuck ups. It's, you know, the only reason we have LSD is because a guy was fucking around with some mold in a lab to help with like morning sickness medication.
Oopsie daisying a revolution.
It's never how we want it to be. It's never how we think it's going to be. But it does. But it always works work out.
It works out crazy.
Okay.
I love it.
This one is from Mike. I just watched Drag Me to Hell for the first time. Very fun film if you haven't seen it. Yes.
We love Drag Me to Hell.
Love.
So good. And that's
Raimi.
Raimi, yeah. Sam Raimi.
Who's, back at his old tricks.
Yeah, all those fun Evil Dead tricks, but even like there's a corniness to it that makes it even more fun.
Yeah.
That when it gets scary, you're like, this got fucked real fast.
Yeah.
And I love like old Eastern European women that are evil. There's nothing better to me than like, oh yeah, that old Eastern European woman with a lot of jewels, she's evil as shit. That shit fires me up.
You were in the room the other night while I was watching Darkman, another Sam Raimi classic.
With Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
And what was the line?
Take the fucking elephant.
Take the fucking elephant. Who was the girl in that?
Coen Brothers.
Yeah. I know I'm see her
Frances
face.
McDormand.
Frances McDormand as a little hottie, young hottie. Young hottie couple, Liam Neeson, Frances McDormand.
Because it was Raimi, the Coens, and her all lived in an apartment together.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I want to watch that movie.
It's crazy.
Let's watch that movie.
Crazy.
I still haven't seen Driveway Dolls yet, and I'm very excited to.
Yeah.
But I like how someone, it's Ethan Coen in that one, right? Not Joel. They said, we found out which one's the horny Coen.
That's really funny.
I'm excited. Plus, it features Tallahassee, where I lived for a long time.
Okay, second part to the question from Mike. Do you believe in curses? Would you ever curse someone if you could?
I think you told me I'm not able to get cursed anymore, right?
Yeah.
I'm kind of over cursed. Like, I believe in curses. I don't think they can affect me.
Yeah.
Would I curse someone else? No.
No.
Because I already feel like I'm living at a high advantage point and I don't need to curse anyone else. Like, they will die on their own accord and their own suffering. And I don't want to quicken it or make it worse because that adds even more hardship for them to overcome. But yeah, I don't think I can be cursed. And I'm not going to curse Pitar. I'm only going to bless Pitar. Rat boy.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, you know, it's the whole idea of doing to others as you would have them doing Dune to you.
The golden spice rule.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think earlier in my life, I was a bit angrier about some things and things that are out of your control. And maybe I would have cursed people then. But then I started doing hallucinogens. And now I just, you know, we're all hanging on to this spaceship trying to do our best.
Yeah.
And you know what? I want to learn about what you like and what motivates you. And I hope that you enjoy life. And if you're facing hardships, maybe it's from your own, you know, troubled outlook on things that you need to oversee.
I think like the curse of Macbeth. I think that's really interesting.
The Scottish play?
Like,
or is that Hamlet?
Isn't it Macbeth?
It's Macbeth,
yeah.
Yeah, we're not supposed to say Macbeth.
Beetlejuice. Yep, just you know, shit like the Bermuda Triangle, stuff like I think that is interesting to me.
Yeah. Not a lot of people go to Bermuda anymore.
No.
Should we go?
Maybe.
Should we do a little trip to Bermuda? Yeah. I just want to say that plane tickets there are not that expensive. Kind of figuring out why, though.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Donovan. If your witch doctor is unavailable, you can speak to one of our curse practitioners.
Oh, that worked together. That was good.
Okay, this is our last question. This is from Cielo. Looking forward to seeing Bussy win some gold in the arcade on Thursday.
Yeah.
So with that being said, if you had the space to have arcade machines in your place, which one would you choose? Personally, I would love to have the crazy taxi machine with the whole enclosure with the steering wheel and the pedals.
I would love that, but I'm a Time Crisis baby through and through.
Ooh.
Let me play Time Crisis with the double guns and the pedals. I want to go through and shoot all the people. I want to upgrade to shotguns. I got to play it the other night when we were in Edmonton. They had a Time Crisis machine.
Yeah.
Me and Vanna Black got on the Time Crisis and just were shooting and going crazy after we played some pinball. So yeah, I think Time Crisis. I used to play Time Crisis with my mom. My mom was really into shooting games like Area 51, Time Crisis, the dinosaur one where you could shoot dinosaurs.
Yeah.
So hopefully we could hang out and play video games together. She's moving in with us next week. I'm just kidding. She's not, but she can if she wants. I don't know. I can't stop you. We got a couch.
I would go for either the classic Terminator one.
Oh yeah.
Or I love the original X-Men.
Okay. That like the side scroller one. Yeah. It's kinda like TMNT.
Yeah.
Did you ever play the Star Wars one with the stick?
No.
Oh, it's pretty fun too. I haven't played that one in a while. Yeah, what a week. What a time. Feels like the skies are opening up to a new change and we're ready for anything. And we appreciate you sticking around and listening and enjoying our podcast. Anything else from you, Pitar?
I'm all set.
All right. Well, remember to tell your loved ones, you know, your plans. You know, you don't want to get cremated if you're not into that.